Our next three speakers are going to bless you. We're going to shift gears and we're going to move into a little different variety of topics. Landon Galloway is going to be speaking first about education. Everybody, all the DLI students, give it up for Landon Galloway. You all, the rest of you can too, if you like. And then right behind him is Pastor Trina Lowe, who's on staff pastors at Christ Church along with her husband. And she's going to come and talk to us about community and the importance of community. And then wrapping up, the cleanup batter is international evangelist Jonathan Suber, who's going to talk with us about trends. Jonathan's a great man of God, moved on and used by God mightily in gifts. He's also a student, and he is a reader and a studier. And he and I talk a lot about where the church is headed in the futures. And he's going to do a session for us called Futures. So I want you to stand up, if you will, and I want you to give a great big hand to Landon Galloway. Landon, come on and get us started.
Good morning. You guys may be seated. Hey, here's one thing about me. I have a terrible sense of direction. I am really, really bad. I don't get anywhere unless Siri takes me there. Can I get an amen? I'm grateful for Siri. Matter of fact, I got lost in the hotel lobby yesterday because I did not have my phone pulled up. But one thing I've noticed is coming back and forth in Shreveport is I feel like I passed 85 different bridges in order to get here. There are a lot. Is that just me or there are a lot of bridges in this town? A lot of bridges. Can you imagine what your commute would be like if there was no bridge, though? How hard it would be to get from where we were to where we wanted to go if there was no bridge, nothing to bridge the gap for us to get from where we are to where we want to go. And what's true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. Sometimes people need bridges from where they are to where they need to go. And I'm here this morning to tell you that I believe biblical education and training your people is that bridge. It is what takes them from where they are to where they need to go. We see this in Acts chapter 8 with a man named Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch that he encountered. In Acts 8, we're told four things about this Ethiopian eunuch. First, he is Ethiopian, which means he is very dark-skinned from the southernmost part of the earth as far as those in the first century would have known. Many people, especially the learned, the intellectual, the academic people of the time, thought badly of those with dark-complected skin. And Luke's readers, and Luke wrote the book of Acts, he would have registered that they weren't sure about the Ethiopian, because if you lived in Rome, you did not know that many Ethiopians. If you lived in Israel, you didn't know that many, and there'd be some suspicion there, right? Are we there? You guys good now? Okay. Second, we're told that he is a eunuch, which means that he is physically disabled. He's been castrated, unable to reproduce. Also, something negative. Matter of fact, the second century writer, his name is Lucian. And Lucian said this. He says that a eunuch is a hybrid, a monstrous anomaly, and the most reviled and despised of men. I don't want that in my bio. You know, like, you won't see that on my website. That's not a good thing to say about someone. But that was true of the eunuch, because in that world, everything was assigned by gender. Men were behaved this way and women behaved this way. And if you were a man, these were your roles and responsibilities. If you were a woman, these were your roles and responsibilities. But what do you do if you're not really a man or a woman? Where do you fit? Where do you belong? Ethiopian, he's a eunuch. And then we're also told, though, that he had worked his way up to become a court official of the queen, and that he was a very powerful and influential man. Matter of fact, he was over all of her treasure, that he had overcame his hardships to become somebody in life. However, Luke only refers to him as a eunuch throughout the story. I mean, if I was in that man's shoes, I'd be like, hey, Luke, could you call me the court official, the treasurer? The exotic, good-looking Ethiopian, anything but the eunuch. How would you feel if you were called by your worst mistake? And that's how the eunuch is referred to throughout the story. See, he should be celebrated for his accolades, but he was condemned for his abnormality. That what people saw wasn't what he achieved, but what he lacked and how he failed. So he lived in this tension that he was successful, yet broken. And then we're told, probably most sadly, that he is interested in the God of Israel. So much so that he traveled from Ethiopia all the way to Israel to worship at the temple. That's a 4,000 mile round trip. And there were no airplanes. In a chariot. And he gets there because he's heard about this God of Israel and he wants to worship this God. And they say, you may be open to Judaism, but Judaism is not open to you. Because Deuteronomy chapter 21 says that no one who's been emasculated may enter into the assembly of God. Can you imagine driving 2,000 miles to church and someone saying, hey, you can't come in? Can you imagine your servant, your slave who drove your chariot? He can go in, but you can't. Can you imagine the guy you brought to cook your meals? He's able to go into God's presence, but because of your abnormality, you cannot go in. He was open to God of Israel, but Israel was not open to him. And here's what we're told, that he still, instead of getting discouraged, instead of getting upset, he buys his own copy of the scroll of Isaiah to read on the way home. That is unthinkably expensive. It would have cost thousands upon thousands of dollars. And he buys his own copy and he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip overhears him reading this part. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. To his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. He's reading the scroll. And just in my imagination, I can imagine him asking questions. Who was this man slaughtered and shorn and mutilated like I've been slaughtered and shorn and mutilated? Who is this man who was denied justice? Because I wake up every single morning saying, this is not fair. Who is this man who did not know the generation after him because his life was cut short? Because I know what that's like to know that I will never hold my own child. We can see why he's drawn to this passage. But what I want to show you is that as he's reading it, he's broken and he has the Bible, but there has been no bridge for the Bible to make any difference in his life. He needed Philip to come along. And God himself pulled Philip out of Samaria, where he's preaching to thousands of people, to come and find this one broken person. See, sometimes we need to stop the proclamation and begin with some explanation. Maybe we need less "the Bible tells you so" and more "this is what the Bible says." Because what happens is that Philip opens and with that very passage begins to explain the gospel and says, let me introduce you to the one who was slaughtered and shorn. Let me show you the one who took your sins and your humiliation upon his own shoulders. Let me show you the man that now in Christ there is neither male nor female, slave nor free, black nor white, eunuch nor young, no, or non-eunuch, but Christ is all and all are in Christ. Let me explain to you how whenever you're baptized into that water, you come out, a man of dishonor and shame goes in, but a man of glory and power comes out. Let me explain to you what the gospel says and what it means to your life. So you hear Christian education and you hear something boring and you hear some dry classes with books and teachers with glasses. But what I hear are those that are broken saying, where is the bridge to the Bible? Where do I learn how to be free? Where does my life make sense? How can I discover this? See, it matters a lot to me. Because the broken, they need a bridge. The broken, they need someone to say, this is the gospel. And Philip had proclaimed the gospel to thousands in Samaria and seen salvation. But this one, this broken person, this person with extremely adverse circumstances, needed a teacher. So I'm asking you as you go home to consider the eunuch's question. Because the first question he asked is, how can I know what I'm reading unless someone explains it to me? People on your pews and people in your community are asking the same thing every day. How can I know unless someone teaches me? How can I know unless someone explains it to me? And here's the result. Then he asked another question.
after he hears the gospel and he's got a teacher in his life, someone to show him the Bible, he asks something else. He says, then what can keep me from being baptized in that water right there? See, his skin may have kept him out of the inner circles of Rome. And his disability may have kept him out of the inner courts of the temple. But there was nothing to keep him from the rivers of God's grace.